Welcome in Slovak Ancestry Podcast. My name is Michal Rázus and this podcast was created with the support of Podcast Industry and Slovak Ancestry, genealogy research and heritage tours in Slovakia. Jan wrote me for the first time probably 2 years ago with the request to visit the villages where his ancestors came from. It was the Zemplín region in the southeast Slovakia and he had a few information. So we started the research and we started to plan his trip. But unfortunately then the situation in the world changed and the COVID virus came, so we had to pause all our efforts and all our plans. Jan didn't give up and he kept writing me every couple months with the request how is the situation in Slovakia and when he will be able to come. Hello Jan, how are you doing?
Great, how are you?
Yeah, awesome. We have today a special day in Slovakia, not only because we are recording this podcast, but also because we just won a golden medal in the Olympic Games by Petra Vlhová, our fabulous skier. So.
Oh my God. Just today?
Just this morning. Yes. So you can be.
Oh my God. Congratulations to all of us.
Yeah, definitely. You are Slovak as well. So that's also your victory.
Yes.
Speaking about that, when did you realize you have the Slovak connection or Slovak roots?
Well, my father always talked about his father immigrating from what was then the Austria-Hungary Empire, and that he had come from Czechoslovakia, and that he came over here as a little boy. And, you know, last time I saw my grandfather, I was 5 years old, so I really don't remember him. We moved away from Pittsburgh. So I didn't know that much of him other than some pictures and my father relating that he came over as a 13 or 14 year old. I think it's 1903. So that's kind of how my background really on my grandfather.
And what about your surname? Because it's also special. And I'm not sure if you actually know even today what's the story behind the surname. Do you?
Behind Fedor.
Yes, Fedor.
I really don't. I just know that that was his last name, and I don't believe he changed it at all.
That's very true, actually. They didn't change the surname, but Fedor is the Rusin or variant of the Greek name Theodore, God's gift. So it's a very nice surname.
Okay.
So when did you start dreaming or planning to come to Slovakia? What was the motivation?
Yes. Remember, it was supposed to be the year before with our COVID issues. So it was delayed until last year. There's three things. Since we retired, we have traveled a lot in Europe. And number one, Eastern Europe was someplace we hadn't have been. So that was kind of something that was always a plan to do. Secondly, my father and his two sisters and my mother had made contact with someone, I think a mayor of a town in Slovakia, where my grandfather came from. And they went there in 1989, and I still have most of those records. Some of the letters are in Slovak that my father had to get translated. But he hooked up, I believe, with this mayor person who took them to the wrong family, basically. They were related, but wasn't the family they were supposed to meet with. So they kind of came back and were told by, I think it was my grandfather's wife's sister who had immigrated, my grandmother's sister, who looked at the pictures and said, that's the wrong family. So it was a little bit of a letdown to everybody. And I felt that, well, you know, I need to close that loop. And then I thought about that for quite a while. But what really, you know, really got me going on this is my cousin's daughter who lives in Maryland. She's kind of the family historian. And she started doing a whole bunch of stuff on the Fedor family, you know, starting with ancestry and that kind of stuff. And that kind of really was the catalyst that got me, well, hey, you know what? I got these other things open anyhow that I'd like to check out and close the loop on and visit the area. So that was kind of the three combined together. And the last one being my cousin's daughter, you know, to get this thing going.
This was your inspiration. And what were your expectations? Were you hoping to meet this time the correct people, since unfortunately your dad didn't have the chance to really meet or reconnect with the family we were hoping, or he was hoping?
Well, thanks to you, you were able to direct us. I did have provide you a little bit of that ancestry family tree stuff that kind of got you started a little bit in some of my father's notes, and you were able to get to the right person, at least get to the right start based on some of the information I gave you. These are tools that weren't available in 1989. My father, I think he had a phone number and somebody to write to or an address, and that's all he had. He didn't have the tools to even know who he was starting with. So that's kind of how we got to the right, you got to the right family based on some of the stuff we provided you in advance.
Exactly, and we are definitely lucky today that we have all these smart databases and directories that can actually make the research much more easier and faster. And thanks to it, I was able to reconnect with the lady that is actually partially working for the local town hall in one of the villages that your family came from. This was just the beginning of our adventure.
Yep, absolutely.
So do you remember the morning when we met in Košice and sitting on the porch and having coffee and discussing the family history and the trip that was in front of us?
Yes. When we picked her up, I don't even think you knew how many people we were going to go see. I was kind of thrown by all that, and some subsequent notes I've got from the first family we saw was, "Guy, I wish we could have spent more time together." And, we just didn't know. We had one day, really. And I think you told me we were lucky we did this on a Sunday, because everybody would have been working during the week and we wouldn't have gotten to see everybody we got to see. That was a big unknown. I didn't really know how many we were going to see when we first sat down that morning. I didn't know how much time we had. I didn't know, any of that. It was what a great day. We tell all our friends we just had the most awesome 12-hour day visiting, I believe, four or five different families. It was just great.
Exactly. That was very surprising for me as well, because basically you never know at the beginning of the day, how these people are going to react. Some of them are very welcoming, just like this was the case. But some people say, okay, you are here and so... But in this case, we were able to visit the whole extended family, because there were really like four or five, three brothers and one sister, I believe, and we visited each of them and then some other families.
Yeah, it was two brothers and, of course, the gal who started this, the adopted daughter, and then their cousin we saw at the very end. We saw her, and then one on my grandmother's side. Yeah, which was great, because that was an extra. The whole thing, trip and everything, was based on behind the Fedor family. But we actually saw the Bodnar, if I'm saying that right, Bodnar family. And my grandmother was actually born in the U.S. So we were visiting a family that never met her, because she was born in the U.S. And I never did understand who immigrated when, because I was concentrating mostly on the Fedor side. When my grandfather came over, the best I can figure is that he was sponsored by his older brother. My grandfather was John Fedor, and he was sponsored by his older brother, Mike Fedor. And he gets into the Slovak community in Pittsburgh, and he meets a woman who's Slovak, but American born. So there must have been a strong Slovak, look who's in town kind of thing, and we'll get all you together. And like I said before, I didn't know my grandfather well, but he opened a butcher shop, and he had four kids, my father and three sisters. And it was a very successful in Braddock, Pennsylvania, very successful butcher shop. In fact, I have a picture here of him and my father standing in it. But he did really kind of well, for somebody who came over 12 years old.
It's amazing how many blank spaces in the family tree we were able to fill in because we were writing down all the day names and the dates of cousins and uncles and all the people in the family. And then, if you remember, we finished our day at the cemetery just to give honor.
Yes, that was excellent. That was just excellent. And I was going through with my niece about I was fascinated in some of the cemetery locations that a father is buried with his son. You know, the family plot would have the father in, but the mother, my great grandfather's case, I think was married twice, so one wife was buried someplace else. I mean, it was very, very interesting, and it was great to have that cemetery. And boy, it was getting dark, if you remember, when we were getting there. So we planned that just perfectly.
Speaking also about your family in the United States, the story with your grandfather and his butcher shop is really excellent. Did the shop survive also after he passed away, or was it gone then?
You know, he wanted... This is interesting because my father, remember, I relate this all from my father because I never saw him after I was 5 years old, my grandfather. He wanted my father to take it over. And my father went to school at Pitt, University of Pittsburgh, got an engineering degree. And there was no, he said his father was very upset that he didn't want to take over the butcher shop. My father hated it. He just felt that was the kind of work he got back. He was in the Army in World War II, and he comes home and he goes to work in this butcher shop, and he didn't like it. So that was kind of the, I think, with the GI Bill, he went to college and got an engineering degree, and that was the career he pursued. I do not know what happened to the butcher shop.
Is still somebody in Braddock, Pennsylvania, or everybody moved away because you are now in... Washington State, you mentioned one of your cousins is in Maryland, so is still some, are there still some people?
Yeah, I'm remembering that we left when I was five, so 1958. Shortly thereafter, two of the sisters moved to Triangle, Virginia, and most of the family is in that side of the family. Like I said, my niece, all those cousins on that side of the family are pretty much in New York, Virginia, somewhere in Florida, but they're all pretty much East Coast. They all kind of stayed in that area. We're the only ones that went westward.
And what about some Slovak customs or foods or something like this? Did you make it, or do you remember this from your childhood?
There was a couple things. And I tried to find it. It was so funny, Mikhail, because I tried to find the same dish in Slovakia, and I couldn't find it. It was stuffed cabbage. And I was all the tours and everything I did in Slovakia, restaurants I went into, also even in the Czech Republic, I asked. I said, looking on the menu, does anybody have stuffed cabbage? That's what my father would, you know, my mother was Irish German. She didn't know anything about it. And he told her about it. And every once in a while, they would make it. And stuffed cabbage or stuffed green peppers, that kind of thing. And it was just great. Just great. So I remember that. And then the other thing is, my father made every Easter this breakfast. And boy, I wish I could remember what he called it, but there were these chopped up hard-boiled eggs, chopped up ham, chopped up bacon, not the regular bacon you think about, but the cube bacon kind of broiled, I believe. That was kind of the Easter breakfast. And the cake thing was something that I remember he said, and older and smarter, I would have wrote all this down, but it was some sort of Slovak cake, and it had fig or something in it, of a fruit filling of some sort, more like a fig thing, and it was cut up, you know, you'd have pieces of that along with the pieces of ham and the broiled bacon and such. And I miss that. I think about that on Easter morning now. I would love to be able to replicate that. I have the memories of it, but I don't have the knowledge of how to put it together.
Well, I am planning to start the cooking school of Slovak and Rus in traditional dishes, so that's an open
Wow.
invitation for you.
Oh my God.
And I'm sure that we are going to find or make holubky by ourselves, which is actually the stuffed cabbage and our original name for it. You've been here just one day or very very short time, so you probably didn't have enough time to explore all the small traditional folk restaurants. But I'm sure that next time you are here, we are definitely going to taste it, and I'm going to take you to places where you can try it.
You know, that's great.
Anyway, is there anything else that we or you would like to mention or we should talk about regarding your family history?
Oh, I just, you know, it just, I think the other thing that threw me that most of the cousins were my age, or most maybe within 10 years, mostly younger, and nobody spoke English. And it's not that generation. You know, it was their one of them, their son-in-law or their grandkids spoke English. And it just, you could sit with them, you could spend more time with all of them. But I would, you would have to be, you or somebody that spoke Slovak would have to be with us the whole time. And it's just, that was the toughest part of this. It was so funny. Our second guide, when we picked her up, Kathy kept. My wife Kathy kept turning to her and talking to her because she was so warm and friendly. We kept forgetting that she didn't speak English. And it was just what a great feel. I mean, what a great connection we had starting with her, because we spent all, you know, because we spent all day with her along with you, but we couldn't understand each other, you know. And we sent a Christmas letter to all of them, and a card. And I'm thinking probably half of them, it was all in English, of course, my travel letter, and I felt bad. But I don't even, you know, we live in a rural area here in Washington State. I don't know anybody who could translate this letter into, you know, Slovak. I'm just hoping that they could do it at their end. So the bottom line is the frustration of the language barrier was probably the toughest thing that, you know, on a subsequent visit, or anybody else from the family, you know, you got to have somebody like you, somebody that can do that. And you must have been exhausted at the end of that day doing all that translating.
That was a long day. Well, thank you, Anne, very much for attending our podcast, and thank you for visiting Slovakia and your persistence and not giving up because of the COVID that was all
Right.
the time kind of
Right.
it was really frustrating. So thank you for coming,
Yes.
and I hope to see you soon again in Slovakia.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. And I was so, everybody, just as a closing note regarding you and the work you do, everybody asked me, said, how did you do this? How did you find, you know, how did you get started? And I said, well, a lot of it was, you know, luck. I just got online and started Googling things. I said, somebody has to do something like this with our ancestry. I don't know if it existed or not. And I find you, and you're so great, and you pursued this for 2 years with us. I mean, I was blessed to find you to help us with this, because it would have never happened.
Thank you very much.
Well, hey,
Yes.
you take care.
Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was Jan Fedor from Washington State and the story of his Back to Roots trip. This podcast was created with the support of the podcast industry and Slovak Ancestry, genealogy research and heritage tours in Slovakia. If you like our podcast, feel free to support us on Patreon. The information can be found in the description below.